This is the Education Exchange with Paul Peterson. I am the senior editor at Education Next. Thank you for joining us. In June of this past year, the Supreme Court decided that you can't use race as a criterion for college admission. In response, many colleges and universities, including the entire higher educational system in California, have banned the SAT as a test for deciding whether a student should be admitted. The SAT, it was said, discriminated against the socially disadvantaged and underrepresented minority applicants. So colleges have instead relied heavily on the grades a student achieves in high school when considering whether or not they should be admitted. But do SAT scores really discriminate against minority students, or is it quite the opposite? Is the abolition of the SAT a racially and socially discriminatory policy? That's the question that Donald Whitman, a professor at the University of California in Santa Cruz, has examined. He's looked at high school grades, the SAT, and how well students did in their first year of college at Santa Cruz University. He is the author of a paper just published in the academic journal Educational Measurement, which is entitled, "The University of California Was Wrong." You know, that's not an academic title, is it? The University of California was wrong to abolish the SAT. So for such a frank and open statement, I congratulate Donald Whitman, and I'm delighted to have him with me on the Education Exchange. Thank you, Donald, for joining me on the Education Exchange today.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. By the way, I had to cut out a lot of other rhetorical statements in order to get published. That wasn't the only one, but I toned it down. There's a certain style that's only appropriate for academic papers.
Yeah, well, let me begin by asking you, first of all, how widespread is this practice of not using the SAT anymore? It used to be any significant college of any reputation used the SAT or something like the SAT for as one of the things they'd look at before deciding whether or not to admit a student. So how many universities are retreating from that?
Well, actually, I don't have the data. I wasn't really paying attention. I was mainly paying attention to the University of California and the state system. But University of Chicago actually dropped it also, and a few places have dropped it and then returned, like MIT and Yale, including Dartmouth. So I don't really have the numbers, but they seem quite large. And of course, that's my own system. So it's very upsetting to me to see that.
Yeah. I think it is becoming more and more widespread. So now, why do you say that's a bad idea? I mean, at Harvard, I think if they haven't done it, they're certainly thinking about it. And so why do you say this is a bad idea? It sounds very, very, progressive to me that you should try to get equality by not sort of using a discriminatory test like the SAT.
Well, it's not actually discriminatory against minorities or people coming from low-income families or families where the parents did not attend college. In fact, it's actually discriminatory against whites and people who are highly educated and high SES, which stands for socioeconomic status. To the degree that is discrimination, it's against that set of people. Now, I don't really care that there would be discrimination against those people. I only argue that because if you can show that it's discrimination against whites, then there can't be discrimination against people who are not white.
How do you show this?
The way you show it is rather standard, although people who argue against the SAT don't seem to realize that. The way that you show discrimination is to show that people who are otherwise equal on a number of criteria are treated differently, and one group is treated worse. For example, there's a whole set of rules regarding how people, whether there's employment discrimination. And if there are two people who are otherwise equal, and let's say men and women in this case, and men get advanced and women don't, even though they have the same characteristics regarding abilities and education, then you say there's discrimination against women. So the key here always is to look at how people are the same but treated differently. Now, it turns out this is not my discovery at all. This has been known for years, that if you look at two groups, let's say underrepresented minorities, and when you say underrepresented minorities, it means these minorities go to college at a lower rate than those who are not minorities. If you look at that set of people, and you look at, for example, a set of students who go to who are underrepresented minorities, and they have the exact same SAT scores and the exact same high school GPA, which is usually used with the acronym HSGPA. So high school GPA.
So this is their high school grades. I'm going to call them high school grades.
High school grades. All right, I'll be less technical. If they have the same high school grades and the same SAT scores, they will be more likely to be, they will do worse than people who have the same SAT scores and high school grades who are not underrepresented minorities.
What you're telling me, if I hear this correctly, you're telling me that the same, if a kid has the same SAT scores and the same grades as another student, but this one is disadvantaged socially. He comes from a lower income family. He's actually got a better chance of getting into Santa Cruz.
That's true, but I haven't even got to the point that actually that person will have a lower grades when they attend college. So even though they're the same, the SAT is a predictor of how well you do in college, but it tends to overpredict for minorities and people who come from low socioeconomic status backgrounds.
So they're going to actually not do as well as expected, given their grade level and given their SAT scores, if they're socially disadvantaged, which means that if you just rely on that, you're going to give them a little extra chance to get into college, given what they will do in college.
In other words, the test, it discriminates against people who are high SES, high socioeconomic status. And not only that, and I haven't gotten to that yet because that's another part of the paper, it turns out that people have a vastly incorrect understanding of how people were ever admitted to the university. Sure, they consider SAT scores and high school grades, but they also consider other things. And in the University of California, it's very explicit that they consider the disadvantages that certain people might have faced. Now, some of them, they might have been blind and something like that, where that's certainly a disadvantage. And there are other disadvantages of going to a school that doesn't have as good teachers or whatever else. So all those other characteristics are actually incorporated in whether a student is admitted to the university. And all those characteristics are treated positively. In other words, if you went to a poor school, then you get extra points implicitly, even if it's called holistic admissions. The point is that there are two ways in which people are let in, and that one of them is by the SAT grades, SAT and high school grades, but there's also this other thing about facing disadvantage.
Well, there's a lot of people who will argue against this, and they'll say, well, but the SAT is culturally biased, the questions assume a background that only the better off families provide for their children. They say that disadvantaged students panic when they face the SAT because everybody thinks they won't do well. So then they think they can't do well. And the rich kids can take the test 2-3 times and other people can't afford that. Then they get tutors. And so there's just an awful lot of stuff that helps the test scores go up for the kids who have come from, you know, well-endowed families. So you're sort of saying you're challenging that, those arguments?
Those arguments are correct, other things being equal. In other words, other things being equal, if you take the test more than once, or you have a tutor to tell you how to take the test, you'll get higher SAT scores. However, this is this issue, these are relatively minor points. Why do I say that? Because if you look, if that were really true, we would observe that, let's say, students from wealthy families would have higher SAT scores, but they really aren't that good, right? Because they had all these advantages, and that people who are white and from high SES backgrounds would do worse than predicted than those who are poor. But we see just the opposite. In other words, while all these arguments sound good and they make a good case in a legal setting, what you need to do is to think about how important these things are. And they turn out to be relatively unimportant, because if it were true that poor kids were disadvantaged, then the poor kids would do better than their SAT scores predicted, but in fact, they do worse than it's predicted.
So in other words, the kid who comes from a well-endowed family is going to get an SAT score, and then he's actually going to do better the first year of college in terms of what the grades he gets in college than that SAT score predicted.
That's right.
So that SAT score is discriminating against him, because he's actually going to do better than what the score shows.
That's correct.
So now, if that's the case, then the University of California system should be happy to use the SAT if they want to open up the system to disadvantaged students. Then they should be delighted to have the SAT. So why are they abolishing it? What's the reasons that they give?
There are two aspects of this. So let me make it clear that despite the fact that underrepresented minorities and those who come from low-income families tend to do worse and also have lower SAT scores in the first place. And let's stick to this one. They do, students from underrepresented minorities and from lower-income families, regardless of their ethnicity, they have lower SAT scores. It is true. The university figured a way out around it, even when there was discrimination was not allowed. I want to interject right here that the state of California had abolished affirmative action quite a long time ago. It was illegal. Yet, if you look, you'll see that a lot of students who had very low SAT scores and who were also, and those tended to be heavily minorities, they still got into the university. That's what I'm saying, is people who face disadvantages could get extra points for being disadvantaged. In other words, trying to make up for any bias that might exist, and there probably was bias before they came to the university. So why is the university doing this? Well, that's a good question. I'm not an expert in psychology. I think.
Well, they must have some evidence that they point to justify their decision. Did they give any evidence to support their decision?
Well, the main evidence is that income and SAT scores are highly correlated. The higher your income, the more likely you are to have a high SAT score.
Yeah, but that's not a justification.
Well, some people would say that. I take a very neutral position here. I think that you can say you might want some, you might want people with lower SAT scores as long as they have something else to contribute. It might be diversity or whatever you want. I'm not taking a position on that. So the argument, to the degree that I can justify it, is that they say, oh, well, they have higher SAT scores, therefore it's just income that you're measuring, and it's not fair to people with lower income. But as I said, that argument ignores the fact that the system does what I said earlier, which is that it actually overpredicts minority success in college.
Well, how about if you just relied on their grades in high school? I mean, that's what they say. We can just rely on their grades in high school. So if you do that, isn't that going to be just as good?
No, it's not just as good. It sort of depends. The argument is actually interesting, and is that the argument usually is that it's that SAT scores only add a little bit of predictability. Of course, what we mean by little is an interesting issue. I don't know if we want to get into that here. But in fact, at the University of California, SAT scores added a lot of predictability. We usually use a technical term like explained variation. So SAT scores, to give you an example, in 2019, this study was not done by me, just so you know, it's not that it's more neutral. Yeah, so high school grades predicted 13% of the variation. SAT scores by itself explained 21% of the variation. And if you just added SAT scores to already using high school grades, you'd get 26%. So it doubled the explained variation. That's not trivial.
Doubling is not trivial, right? So in other words, you're saying if you use both the grades and the SAT scores, you can predict how well a student is going to do their first year in college in terms of getting grades. You're going to improve your prediction 100%.
Yeah, this was in 2019. There's some arguments you can do that it's somewhat lower, and of course in previous years it was lower than that.
So what years do you study in this? And all your data comes from Santa Cruz, right?
That's correct. It's very hard to get data, believe me.
How did you get it? How did you get this from Santa Cruz? What kind of... usually universities won't give out any information at all. Harvard University had to be sued to provide information.
It's surprising. I was on the committee around 20 years ago, and I couldn't get the data. I could talk to somebody who would run one or two regressions for me, but I couldn't get anything. And I was on the admissions committee. So it is very hard. And, I tried my way, and I tried to the University of California in general. It's extremely hard.
So what'd you do? Did you bribe them or?
Well, I got the data. I'm not going to exactly say how, but I did get it. I don't think it wasn't illegal or anything like that. But people were willing to share the data with me because I had been on a committee with them and they knew what I was doing.
Right, because nobody wants to share embarrassing information. But now we might say, well, you got this data on Santa Cruz, but does this apply to any place else?
Well, that's always the question. Remember the data I just gave you, and that was just about the increase in how much better the SAT was compared to the high school grades in predicting first year performance. There's other studies that have been taking place over, at least 30 years, probably much longer. The results are always the same, that if you look at predictors besides high school grade and SAT scores, and you add something like something to do with ethnicity, or whether the student is EOP eligible, that means they're I won't try to define it now.
Well, they're socially disadvantaged, right?
They're socially disadvantaged.
Low-income families,
right? Some measure. There are many measures. And the result is always the same. If you're socially disadvantaged by one measure or another, and there's many, or you went to a school that was socially disadvantaged, essentially, that the other students were, they were on free lunch, a high percentage. All, and whatever measure you use, over many, many years, probably 30, probably 50 years, but the results were always the same. Minorities would do worse than predicted, and non-minorities would do better than predicted.
So, but now your definition of worse is not getting the same grade. I mean, doing worse in college the first year.
Yes.
But do we really care about what their grades are in their first year in college? Don't we care about whether or not they finish college, or whether or not their last year in college they're doing well? So why look at these grades the first year?
Well, that's the common one. I think one should look at there are all kinds of measures, and you're absolutely correct. You can look at the fourth year. You can look at how much they make after they graduate from college. All these are valuable. There are additional technical difficulties that I have not engaged in. But except for the possibility of actually staying around, it's clear that minorities don't do as well. And if you don't mind, I'll explain to you why it's so difficult to do it otherwise. Some students drop out, all right? And so they don't finish college. They don't finish UCSE. Well, maybe they went to another college, right? We don't know why in general. Now, there is data that you can get, but I didn't have access to it, and somebody else can do it. There are other measures, what I'm saying, and I don't want to say that this is the only one, but it's much more complicated to even talk about how well you do in the fourth year. Although I get the same answers when I do it just for the fourth year, right?
So you're saying that, you know, your findings are not unusual, and other people have worked with this kind of a problem of looking at different kinds of outcomes, and they're getting pretty much the same thing.
Except for finishing the 4 years. The dropout rate is pretty high under any circumstance.
But there's one criticism out there that applies to maybe all of these, is that you're only looking at the kids who got into Santa Cruz. You're not looking at all those applicants who didn't get into Santa Cruz, and therefore you're really not doing this analysis on the full list of applicants to college and this sort of narrow band that you're looking at. Those who actually got in could give you misleading information. How do you deal with that criticism?
Well, there are two kinds of criticisms there, and they're good ones. And of course, once again, I was not able to get that kind of data. But one of the things is it's called restriction of range, and basically it means that at any university that's selective, you don't select really poor students, okay? And if you don't select, and this restriction of range may be different for both grades and for SAT scores. For example, the one that I use as an example is that SAT scores don't explain grades at Caltech. Why don't they explain grades at Caltech? Because everybody gets an 800 in math at Caltech, so you can't really use grades to explain. Or if there are a few that get 790, it's not very much different than a score of 800. So that is a major question. We have to try to figure that out. And so that's one issue. The other issue is just to try to look at what happens. There have been some studies. Again, I haven't done it. It requires access to a lot of data that's most incredible to get. But there are studies that try to figure out, well, we were going to look at people who just got into UC, who were at the lower end, and what happens to them versus those who had to go to the state college instead, which have a higher acceptance rate. and try to see what happens to those people. So there are kinds of tests to do that way.
So you think that this is going to sort of change what colleges do? Do you think this idea of dropping the SAT, you know, MIT has already announced that they're going to go back to using it. Do you think this is sort of a signal of the future, that there's been a reaction against this practice, that the people in higher education are beginning to see that they really need the SAT or some test like the SAT that to identify those who are actually going to be best prepared for college?
I think at least it'll reduce the numbers getting rid of the SAT, I think. I'm not sure. I'd like to think that as an academic, I think that I have very little effect on almost anything, as much as I'd like to think so. But I would hope that this is one of the more influential papers that I have in the non-academic sphere.
Well, I think it's actually got a great title that conveys just exactly what's in the study, and it sort of is pretty doggone persuasive. So thank you, Donald, for joining me on the Education Exchange.
I appreciate being asked, and I hope that others will find it as persuasive as you said it is.
I've been speaking with Donald Whitman. He's an emeritus professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz. He's the author of a recently released article in the academic journal Education Measurement entitled, "The University of California Was Wrong to Abolish the SAT." I am Paul Peterson. This is the Education Exchange. Please join me for a new podcast released on the Education Next website every Monday at noon Eastern Time.